Well, that makes you feel a little better. Well, we're looking at Colossians, and we're going to get right into the Bible study tonight, and we don't cut it short because we're doing other things, but I also want to be timely on everybody's schedule, and I do realize that it's a lot of folks, we got to get up for work in the morning and all those things. We want to keep you all night, but we want us to have plenty of time out here, but we want to get into the Bible as well, and trust there'll be a blessing to you. Looking at Colossians chapter 2, we'll begin in verse number 8, and we'll read down those three verses, 8, 9, and 10, and teach from this passage, and we'll continue on as we are through our book, and trust it's a blessing to you. There, Colossians 2, verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." I want to teach for a little while as we get through this passage about the freedom from vain philosophy. And so we see in this really power-packed passage here, it warns us who we're taking our marching orders from. That's that vain deceit and those philosophies and the rudiments of the world, and we're not following Christ oftentimes, or at least that's what the danger here of these folks were. And so I want to teach through this if God would help us. Father, bless us now is our prayer, and we'll certainly thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we look at verse number 8, and we're going to see this warning that's given to all of these believers that are reading this. And of course, it's to the believers from then on, but specifically given to the Colossae people here. We see that the beware, the warning to believers, beware, be careful, like the old skull and crossbones, don't take this, this is poison, or don't go down this road, there's a bridge out, a warning, don't go here. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And so this word spoil literally means rob it from you, take it from you, spoil you. You took, if you're thinking about somebody traveling on the way and there was a robber that comes through, he spoils the fun, of course, but he spoils what that person has. He robs them of that. And so the writer here, God is using him to say, beware, be careful, be on the lookout, lest any man spoil you or rob you of the things that you're supposed to be getting. And then it's going to show how they rob you through these different things. Now, the word philosophy, it's a search for truth. And all of us are supposed to be searching for truth. But the problem with many philosophers or many people that are trying to get into philosophy, they're not looking where truth truly resides. J. Vernon McGee in a commentary said that the philosophy, those people that are trying to get a philosophy apart from God and God's Son and God's Word, he said it's like a blind man looking in a dark room for a black cat that doesn't exist, meaning you won't find it. And so you can look all you want, but if something's not there, you won't get it. And so philosophy, somebody says, I want to be a philosopher, I want to know the truth. If that's real and you're really truthful about that and you're looking for what the truth is, then you're on a good path, because I always mention this, that the truth doesn't mind a challenge. Somebody says, I want to get to the bottom of it, and then you say, well, that's good. We all do. We want to get to the truth of the matter. Only somebody who's got something to hide minds investigation. God's had his book out here. Well, it's been forever settled in heaven, but he gave it to men some years and years ago through a bunch of human authors, and it's been picked apart literally. But here we sit tonight, still studying his pages. And you say, yeah, but Pastor, you say, Brother John, there's lots of people who deny and defy that book. Yes, there are. But you're looking at one who says the things in its pages made my life totally different. Amen. So even though it's been picked apart, even though it's been trampled on and put down and defied and defamed, it's still changing lives today. So the truth doesn't mind a challenge. So when he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, that philosophy would be those of the world. So we're seeing the deception of the worldly philosophies, but then we see not only the worldly philosophies, but then that vain deceit, those things that aren't true. And you know, you hate to keep beating on it, but in this world right now, there's plenty that's being touted as good, truthful, and right for you. Yeah. And sometimes the weirder it is, the louder they talk. Did you notice that? As if they've got to convince you of it. So they speak louder and louder and louder when you have a quiet voice over there in the corner that just is slowly giving the truth that's always been there. And so this deceit after the tradition of men. And there's lots of things that we do, and there's nothing wrong with them. We're in a season of our lives, this season, our calendar, rather, that we have a lot of traditions. And there's nothing wrong with those things. Traditionally, you do this on Christmas Eve. Tradition says you do this. Nothing wrong with that. But there's lots of traditions. When we take those traditions and you hold it as just a tradition, that's just how we do it, then that's fine. But when you take those traditions and you elevate those to an unhealthy level, then you're in a lot of trouble. I usually always wear a tie when I preach. You say, why would you do that? I don't know. I don't like them any more than some of you all do. But it's just kind of a tradition. I may come in next Wednesday without one, but we'll see. But is it a bad tradition? No. Does it help anything? No. There's traditions that aren't bad, but when we take a tradition and we hold those traditions above or equal to the commandments of the Lord, then we're in a heap of trouble for sure. And so we see some of these traditions. It doesn't necessarily say whether they were good or bad. It just talks about these traditions of men. But then I want you to see this next word, after the rudiments of the world. Now, I'm told as you study that out, that rudiments there of the world, he's saying that beware. There's some people trying to rob some things from you. They're robbing you through philosophy that's worldly. They're robbing you through vain deceit, just things that aren't true. And they're robbing you after the traditions of men. Oh, shouldn't we always do this because we always have? Well, that's good till you get to a place to say, well, why did we always do that? You know, it begs the old story that there was a young girl that was getting married, and as she got married, she was cooking this ham, and she cut the end of it off. And her husband asked, why do you do that? She said, well, I don't know. I just said, that's the way Mom always did. She put that other part in another pan and cooked it for some kind of dinner. And he said, well, isn't that interesting? He said, well, I don't know why I do it. I just always do. And so she called her mom. And she said, Mom, why do we do that? Why did you do that? And she said, well, I don't know. That's just the way you do it. She said, that's just the way Mom did it. And I always just get that little piece over, and it kind of works out because we have the one for Sunday dinner. We never really need all of it. So the other one just ends up being leftovers, and I don't know. But her mom was still alive as well. So her mom called her mom, and so the one called the grandma, and she said, Mom, why do we do that? And she said, I hadn't thought about it for a long time. But she said, when we first got married, I didn't have a very big pan. And so usually the ham would be overlapping, so I'd cut the end of it off. And I'd put it on another little pan, and we just did that because that's all we had. Some traditions are about as valuable as that. And there's nothing wrong with it if you want to cut your ham into three pieces. It's fine. And you train your children. Make sure you cut and cook ham this way. But you see the traditions of men. Again, there's nothing wrong with them. We're getting ready to celebrate. Most of us are getting ready to celebrate some wonderful traditions. Whatever you have as your family. Some people I know, they don't exchange gifts because they want to all be about Jesus Christ. And I'm happy to do that as well. But they just sit there and they just ponder and think and pray about the gift of Jesus Christ. That's a good tradition. Other people don't. They say, well, we want to get one gift for each family members. Others just say, well, the sky's the limit. Just get as much as your credit card will hold. And that's a bad tradition, but that's beside the point. That's not today's message. But none of those traditions, except that last one, are bad. But they are traditions. And so when you start saying, you need to do this tradition because without it, you're not as good as somebody else, then we're in a whole heap of trouble. Let's just remember what they are. So traditions. Then, as we get to that last one that I want to show you in this verse, after the rudiments of the world. This is the last little category, he says, because he wraps them all up, he says, and none of these are they following Christ and not after Christ. But that rudiments, it just means the ABCs, the very basics of something. It's the elementary aspects of whatever you're talking about, rudimentary. It's the very nuts and bolts, the beginning. Well, what would you learn before you learn the specifics of a language? You learn the very basics. Before you get to the fluency of it, you're going to learn the basics, how you put verbs and nouns and all that together. And so that rudiment just means it's the ABCs of something, the very base elements. And so he's saying here in this passage, God is, that you be careful. Some of them are going to spoil you through the basics of what the world does. I heard it again this week. Somebody gave that old, it's not a proverb from the Bible, but sometimes people quote it so much, says, well, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you know the rest, shame on me. Well, people say, well, you're not going to get that over on me again. Why? Because I'm too smart for you. I'm going to let you do that once, but then I'm going to get you the next time. You say, is that in the Bible? No, nowhere. But if we're not careful, we'll hold to some things that are rudiments, those ABCs of the world, because the world would say, don't let anybody get anything over on you. You look out for number one. But God says, you look after the cares of other people and take care of them, and God will turn around and take care of you. That's why sometimes people, we have to give our faith promise missions, people say, I can't afford to do that. I believe that when God puts on your heart to give something, he's going to come turn around, back around, and take care of you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But that's not what the ABCs of the world says. The world would say, you better take care of you because nobody else is going to. And so he tells them to be careful about these, the warning to the believers. But then we go on to verse number 9, and we see not only that warning to the believers, but then this confidence that's given in Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ's deity is emphasized here. Now, there's a reason for that. Of course, it's good teaching, yes, but there's a reason. There were folks right there in this church that were of the Gnostic belief, and they believed that anything physical was sinful. The only way something could be spiritual, or only thing something could be divine, was for it to be spiritual. Meaning that the anything with flesh would had to be wicked, and the only divine would be through the Spirit. Well, there's a big problem with that, because like we're celebrating right now, God became man, took upon himself human flesh, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, the incarnate God. And so this flew all over some of these teachers who said nothing of flesh can be spiritual, which in our flesh dwells no good thing. That part was right. But like many false teachings, there's a little bit of truth in it, but then it expands and explodes and has a lot of false teaching away from that truth. And so the truth is, yes, there's nothing good in our flesh. But there was something good in the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these ones that believed that Christ was not all that deity, he was divine in that he had some divinity, he had some godlike traits. Some went so far as to say after his birth, because that was a physical process, the Spirit of God came on him. But then the death, which would have been another physical process, the Spirit of God left him. You say, where is that in the Bible? It's not. That's what I'm saying. This is some of that false teaching that was there. And so that he was, again, had some divinity about him, but he wasn't deity. Well, that's just not right. We know it from other passages, but then that's one reason why God is using this in the lives of these. I mean, we got to remember all these epistles, Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, all of them, they were written specifically to a group of believers. And in amongst those groups of believers were some people who were falling for some of this false heresy. And so God doesn't wasting the time of us, nor was he wasting the time of the Colossae people. And so when he had Paul pin them down, he was writing these things so that they were getting help. And so as these Christians in this church were getting these words, they were looking in their language back then, now ours in English, but for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And that flew all over some of those ones that had the heresy that say, well, nothing of a body or of flesh or if substance can have any spirituality about it. And so neat the way God, it means so much now, but it also meant so much then to the people who were reading it. So we had this confidence in Christ. The incarnation explained, and the reason I believe was because that first human hearers were having a lot of trouble with that. Look at the last one, will you, in verse number 10? We're going to see that not only do we have the confidence in Christ in verse number 9, for in him dwelleth that, but then we have this completeness of us in Christ, and ye are complete in him. That's Christ again, which is the head of all principality and power. It's all finished. Reason why I said it is finished, Christ did. There's no loose ends, as I would put it. We're complete. Now, I'm told by some commentators in their books, in their commentaries, that that word complete, you are complete in him, that it brings this idea of a nautical term, meaning for sailing or for your boat, and what tone that it brings is that you're ready for the voyage. Isn't that a beautiful picture? You're complete. You're ready. Now, for some of us, that would mean, I don't think I'd be on one of those little boats that they would have had in that day. That would have been a lot of Dramamine or whatever those seasickness pills are, which I don't think they've been invented yet. So you've been just out of luck. Those bracelets or whatever it is that keeps you from getting sick. But whatever you needed, I'm told that this word complete brings the tone of that nautical, ship, seaworthy term. You got all that you need for the trip. And so in this life, you and I, in Christ, we've got all that we need for the trip. You say, Brother John, I don't even know what I'm going to need for the trip. You say, what if I need this? I don't know what I'm going to face. I don't know how bad the storm's going to blow. I don't know what wind is coming up. Neither do I, but I know one who does know. And if he says we're complete and that our ship is ready and that all the equipment on that ship is all the equipment we need, then I know that we can trust him. We need no other source of grace or of truth. You're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. That's where all authority comes from. It all comes from God. He dishes it out to different entities, but it all comes from him. So, why would God give us this? Why would he leave us this for today? Well, I believe because all of us are continually enticed by worldly philosophies. What can I do to get ahead? Let's take a for instance. You've got a job. At that job, you can do something a little underhanded that no one will know and will probably help your raising through the ranks. Or you can take the slow and steady route. Again, nobody will know that either, but be on the slow track as opposed to the fast track. Well, the world would say, if it's nobody's going to know and it's not going to hurt anybody anyway, all you're doing is benefiting yourself. And then we'll put a spiritual twist to it. If you benefit yourself and get a higher pay scale, then you can even do more to help missionaries. You see how sometimes the devil will just put that little bit of spiritual tone on his deceit? Because then we can help the missionaries. So you've got that opportunity. It's not going to hurt anybody. Either one's okay as far as anybody's safety or they're not penalizing anyone else. What would the world tell us to do? Well, the world would say, if it's not going to hurt anybody, no harm, no foul. Let's just go forward with it. What does God tell us to do? God, of course, principle after principle after principle says to honor the Lord in everything that you do, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Can we see how easy those philosophies of the world slip in? Those rudimentary, those, hey, look out for you because nobody else is going to. Be careful for you. You watch out for us four, no more. Us five and leave us alive. Or I don't know, whatever you say. That's just us two. Whatever you say. Those worldly philosophies, they're creeping in on all of us. While we're not looking, And that's why I believe God says, be careful. How's he say it? Beware. Beware, because somebody's going to rob you. Somebody's going to spoil you. And the way they're going to do it is through philosophy. Wrong philosophy, but it's going to sound really, really good. They've got it all mapped out. Wow, that sounds right. I agree. I think that many people aren't having their own ideas. They just heard somebody else say an idea, say, that sounds good. I think I'll go with that one. Through the philosophy, they'll also fool you or spoil you or rob you through the vain deceit or tradition of men. Well, we've always done it that way. Everybody does it that way. Everybody always does that. Or through the rudiments, the elements of the world, the very, very elementary ABCs of the world. Beware, because somebody's going to try to spoil you, rob you of the peace that God wants you to have through these areas. It's nothing new. God told these people at Colossae that, but now tonight God tells us that. So I'm warning you all, be careful. Just because nobody knows it doesn't mean nobody knows it. I've told you this many times. Your dad would always tell us, he said, when you boys work, all three of us and my sister too, three boys and one girl, we all worked at different jobs, but all of us eventually worked at McDonald's as our starter job. And he told us all, he said, you all work. He said, if you're not going to work, quit. Come back home. Don't take money from them. That's the same as stealing if you're not going to do what you're supposed to be doing. But there are many times when nobody would have known. And the rest of the guys back there in the grill area or in the dive area, wherever we were at, they weren't doing much either. And then you're going to have to decide. Are you going to follow what Dad said, the Bible said, or what the Bible did say, and those were right? Or let that philosophy come in and get you. Amen. I like to say I've always done the right thing, but many times I fight those and you lose and then later you get right. But that's why God gives it to us here. Beware. Those vain philosophies, those philosophies of the world, those deceits, those will get us. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for the time to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you've equipped us tonight some. And Lord, may if nothing else, you've just reminded people that we don't get away with anything. Lord, your eyes run to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. Sometimes the people right in front of me, they're thinking, well, I'm trying to do right, but I don't ever get noticed. I know who notices, Lord, you do. Help us, dear Lord. Let not those vain deceits, those philosophies, those rudiments of the world rob us of that peace that we could have. Bless us, I pray in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? If God speaks to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe there's something you want to pray about. This altar is open for you. I'd be glad to pray with you. Somebody else would as well if you need them. Maybe you're here tonight, not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Oh, my friend, please. Maybe you've been buying lies of the world to say, well, I'm a good person. It's all going to work out okay. My friend, it won't all work out okay unless we have Christ as our Savior. Maybe you're buying a lie of the devil right now. If you're here not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? You may look this way. Well, a joy to be here tonight. I'm going to pray in just a moment because we'll have some hot dogs and some different snacks and things out there. We'll pray and ask God's blessings on that. So if you have your children up in the children's classes, stop by and get them. If you can, stay with us for just a little while. As I said, you can go right behind this door or out this door behind Miss Carol. You can go there just down a few steps and come back out in the courtyard or out this way, of course. And we'll have a wonderful time. If you see Brother Daniel Wakefield, he headed up a team of different folks that decorated and did all that stuff. So you might thank him for that. But it's a beautiful place out there. I'm going to pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for the time to gather together. I pray for the food, dear Lord. You'd bless it to our bodies. But thank you for just the time of our church family to gather together. I pray that you'd bless us. Lord, help us not to get too cold out there, but just help us have some wonderful, wonderful fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you in the courtyard.